got some headlines that have happened during this week. I was wondering if you could, you've probably seen them in the newspapers and heard about the stories, but I was wondering if you could think of a common theme that runs through them. Anthony Hopkins refused to dress down for the Hitchcock rehearsals. The horse meat lasagna, you know, Findus is 100% horse meat. And Scotland Yard stole the identities of dead children so that they could send police officers undercover. Can you think of anything that sort of links those three together at all? Maybe a bit obtuse. It's all about identity. Identity. Anthony Hopkins is an actor who, even though he plays a character very well, still retains his own character in it, unlike others who totally become the character. Of course, the lasagna wasn't the mince that it was supposed to be of beef. Instead, it was horse meat, and the police were giving different identities. That's an issue that we were thinking about in the reading that Rachel and Jacob shared with us earlier today. That of identity of Jesus. The disciples had come to know that he was a special man. They'd seen the miracles that he'd performed. They'd seen the healings that he'd done. They'd seen the way that he'd calmed the storms. They'd seen different things about him, but they still hadn't really got their heads around who his identity, his true identity was, that of the Son of God. Just a little time earlier, Peter, when Jesus had said, who am I? Who do men say I am? And then he said, and who do you say that I am? And Peter had said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. But it still hadn't really gone from his head into his heart. Jesus, on this particular day, had taken three of his disciples, Peter, James and John, suggesting that something significant was going to happen. These three had gone up with him together. And Jesus began to pray. And it was as he prayed that his whole being was transformed, sometimes called transfigured, and that's why it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. But the glory of God began to shine. And Helen mentioned earlier that the Bible has lots of times when it talks about the veil and things that separate us from seeing the glory of God. And in our display cabinet here, we've had some shiny things that we've put in because the glory of God is something beyond anything that we experience in our normal day-to-day lives. It's that whole glory of God, the shining, the whiteness, the brightness that came down. And for those, that short time, Jesus was there seen in all of his glory that he'd put aside when he came down to earth. And as he was there, then these two other characters appeared, Moses and Elijah. Moses, the lawgiver, the one who'd gone up and received the Ten Commandments, he epitomized, he was the picture of the law by which the Jews lived. And then Elijah, the father of the prophets. So here you'd got the lawgiver and the prophets. Those two sections of the Old Testament that gave the full revelation of God as the people at that time experienced it. So here they were together. And yet Moses and Elijah were not talking about what had been in the past, but they were talking with Jesus about what was to come in the future. They were talking about his path to the cross. And all this was happening, and the disciples were slumbering. The glory of God was there, and they weren't really with it. And then suddenly they became fully awake. And as they fully woke, that was the time when they saw the glory. And this cloud descended and came down upon them. And they heard from heaven God speak and say, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. Listen to what he says. And so no longer was it the law and the prophets that were pointing the way to God, but now it was Jesus. And this whole experience was for Jesus as much as what it was for the disciples and for us. It was confirmation that that choice that he had made to be obedient to God, God was pleased with. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. He is the one that will now bring that revelation of myself and my glory. And Peter, always the impetuous one, Peter, always the one that jumps in first and says things without thinking. And Peter said, "Oh, Lord, I want to build these three shelters, these three booths, and then you can stay here. You know, it's so wonderful. This is such a wonderful time." That wasn't to be. You see, sometimes when we have an experience with God, we want to hold on to that. We want to capture it and keep it and keep going back to it and keep reminding ourselves about it and saying that this is a fantastic time. This is what I want to keep. And yet Jesus had set himself. He'd set his face to the cross. He wasn't staying there in all of his glory. He was going the way of the cross. And he knew what it would cost him. Our post here says, to Jerusalem 7 weeks, and over the next 7 weeks here, we will be thinking about Christ's journey into Jerusalem, to the cross and beyond, the mountain of transfiguration where we are at this moment in our thinking. But how many of us try to hold on to God in what we've experienced of him? And this is one of the dangers of the go and tell course, if we allow it, that we would want to hold on to where we've met with Jesus, where we have known God and what he has done for us, and to want to seek to impart that to others. And yet, the truth is that Jesus is alive today, that he heals, that he touches, he reconciles, he's at work in the world, and that can happen in any other life. And God will work in individuals in the way that he chooses and the way that is right for them. So, unlike Peter, where he wanted to hold on to his experience of Jesus and see all of his glory, let us be willing to recognize the glory, but then to continue in our day-to-day walk, looking for that glory again and again, not holding on to it in one place. And this, you see, is what dedication is all about. That's why the service this morning is so meaningful to those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and who have given their lives over to him. It's what sets a dedication service apart from a Thanksgiving service, because it is that whole sense of in faith and trust, dedicating an infant to the Lord God, that he may move in their life according to his will and purpose. It's that dedication of seeking whatever it costs to walk the way of God, and seeing his plans and purposes come to fulfillment in the life of the individual. And the dedication separate to a baptism, an infant baptism or a christening, is that a dedication service allows the infant opportunity, when they make their choice to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour, to enter the waters of baptism and make the declaration of faith for themselves. With an infant baptism, that still happens when the child makes their own declaration of faith, and is no less important than the dedication service. But Jesus had chosen to dedicate himself to God's will. He'd chosen to be obedient to what God wanted him to do. He'd set his face to Jerusalem, and God had confirmed his choice. Got another picture here for you, and I wonder if any of you can recognise this one. Again, in the news this week. No, this is the Shard Hotel in London. And Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen tweeted last week, "Whilst I am most looking forward to the party high above London tomorrow night, atop the Shard, what does one wear when one is higher than God?" those words, that picture, may bring to some of our minds the modern day Tower of Babel, where the people came together and said, let's build together and we can be better. We don't need God. Only the world's values, maybe, we see in it. And yet, the very same week that Lawrence spoke those words, another person looked at the shard and saw the sunlight being reflected from it in pure beams of light, reflecting the glory of God. You know, sometimes we can think that only things that are Christian are good. Only Christians are good. Only in Christian places. We have Christian plumbers and Christian builders, don't we? I was reading somewhere, is it because we think we'll have sanctified sinks and bathrooms? I don't know. There's all sorts of reasons maybe why we do that. But, you know, God is at work. It's his world. It's not ours. It's his world. And God is at work in many different situations. And we are very misguided if we think that we have all the answers. Something that does in many ways reflect the world's systems, the world's values, the world's way of thinking, is still able by God's grace to reflect God's glory. Do we get distracted by what is man-made, so that we don't recognise when God is in it? We just think, oh, well, that's of the world, they're of the world, whatever. And so it blinds us. We ourselves then have this veil. We're blinded that we don't see God at work, to the glory of God all around us. The disciples wanted to catch the moment and stay, but Jesus sought to move on in obedience. And the bit that Jacob brought to us, and the whole aspect within our service, was trying to give you pictures of high places and low places. And the two readings, one read from a height, one read from a lower place. That a lot of people think within this reading, Jesus was there up on the mountaintop, it was fantastic, there was the glory, and then he descended down and came and found this family and this boy who was foaming at the mouth, and the disciples couldn't do anything. But actually the truth is reverse. That when Jesus was on that mountainside, it wasn't a great time of wonder and glory. It was a time when he was facing the cross. A time when he was looking at what he had to go through. It was a time when God confirmed to him, in him I am well pleased. But it was also a time of preparation, a time of moving on, a time of laying that aside and going forward with God and where he wanted him to be. And so when he came down that mountaintop, instead of that being down into the valley, rather it was the opposite, because here the whole power of God was at work and this boy was delivered and he was made whole and he was well again and he was restored to his family. So for many people, you know, we can find that going from Sunday to Monday can be like 100 miles. That difference between being in here, somebody came in today and said, oh, if it was like this every week, yeah, it would be great, wouldn't it, where we're fighting for places. But, you know, on a Sunday we can seem as though we have a good time and we're in fellowship and we're all of like-minded and it feels good. And then we go to Monday and we're in work and things aren't so good and it's difficult. But you know, the glory of God is all around us. So where is God today? You know, in Oldham, where is God today? Can you see his glory in Oldham? Can you see his glory when maybe you go shopping in Oldham, shopping in Manchester? Can you see the glory of God? Maybe when you go out to the hospital visits, you know, hospital appointments or visiting other people, We've been praying about Libby, a granddaughter, great-granddaughter of one of the ladies that comes here. But knowing that the glory of God is present there, seeing the way that the family are hearing this morning about how the family have been upheld and strengthened, knowing the way that Libby has been healed. Supermarkets, the glory of God in the supermarket. So often we can just go in, we've got a list and we've got to buy, but missing the glory, the wonder of God's provision, the creation, his world, the food that he has provided. You see, we can be tempted to think, and then in the workplace, all of these places to see opportunities to recognise God's glory. Because, you see, we can be tempted to think that we're the ones that have the truth and we take the glory with us where we are, maybe. But then, that's true in some senses, but there's more to it than that, because God is already at work in the community. And as a church here, we have been recognising that God has been calling us to move out from here. And sometimes it's easy, like Peter found, let's build the shelters there, stay there. It's easier for us to stay in our comfort zone. But God is calling, as he called Jesus, to move out from there and down into the community, down into the world, where he is already at work. Where he is already at work. And that's the thing for us to see. Jesus, as he was praying, was transformed. The glory came upon him. It won't just happen. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes a willingness to be in prayer, a willingness to study God's word, a willingness to give of ourselves, a willingness to lay down what we would want to do, a willingness to be obedient to God and to respond to him in different situations, lots of which we probably would rather not do. But when we're willing to do that, then the glory of God appears. And so this morning, thinking of how we are transformed, Alice McKenzie in Transforming Transfiguration writes, God promises us that through Scripture we will meet God, and our identities as individuals and a community of faith will be formed and transformed. This morning, Jesus' identity. Do you recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Maybe you've learnt about him in Sunday school. Maybe other people have talked about him in family or church. Maybe up here there's an understanding that Jesus is God's son. But is it here? Is it in your heart? Do you know it? Do you understand that identity of who Jesus is and experience him day by day? Living in you, strengthening and providing. That call to seek obedience to God's will in our lives through his word and through prayer. And that aspect of the disciples only seeing God's glory when they were fully awake. And for many Christians, we're often half asleep. But Lord, please help us to be fully awake that we may see God's glory. And how we ourselves are being changed and transformed. To recognise that in one another and to be challenged within ourselves of how we demonstrate God's glory to others. And also corporately, individually and corporately as a church. So this morning, the Mount of Transfiguration, remembering how Jesus was transformed. And knowing that we too can be transformed and see his glory, the glory of God, around us. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, how often we pursue success at any cost. And yet today we hear God's word afresh, that we are called to follow you, the one who served the poor and lost and journeyed to the cross. Amen.
The children.